is the most significant moment in the history of country lovers. We are indeed to witness the opening of the first long-distance bridleway to be provided under the National Parks and Access to the Countryside Act 1949, and a more splendid day for this I can't imagine. The chairman of the Countryside Commission is Mr. John Cripps, and he is a CBE, and he received his decoration and his honour for his services in local government. But you may well know that he is indeed the son of the Stafford Cripps, and he was indeed the editor of the Countryman magazine. So you can see that he is not only a country lover, but he has so many wonderful attributes that I could not possibly tell you all of them this afternoon. So he is going to be the chairman of the proceedings, and I welcome the Countryside Commission to our town, and I congratulate you very much indeed, Mr. Chairman, on what you are doing for our country, and I would now like you to take over the proceedings formally. Mr. Cripps.
Mr. Mayor, Lord Shawcross, ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Mr. Mayor, very warmly for the welcome which you have extended to us. And may I, on behalf of the Countryside Commission, extend to all of you here a welcome to our proceedings this afternoon. We are most grateful to you, Mr. Mayor, for the admirable arrangements which you and your staff have made for us today, both in the town and also here where we are holding the opening ceremony. I know that you have a most efficient publicity and entertainment committee. I've met its chairman earlier today. I'm sorry he couldn't be here with us on the downs, but I hope that you will express our gratitude to him and also to your Mr. Bedford and Mr. Breach for the help which they have given us in making these arrangements. Now, we are very glad to have this afternoon the support of the chairman of the two county councils who have been concerned with the creation of this path, Alderman Hayworth Booth, who is on my right, and Sir Peter Vercel, who is on the left. I would like also to mention that I am supported this afternoon by Mr. Robin Herbert, who is deputy chairman of the Countryside Commission, also by Mr. Brian Hubbard, another of our commissioners, and of course by our director, Mr. Hookway. A number of other bodies, national bodies, are represented. I would like to extend to them a particular welcome and to say how much we appreciate the fact that they have taken the trouble to come and join us on this occasion. We have representatives of the Forestry Commission, for example, who have been concerned with certain stretches of this route. We have, on behalf of the English Tourist Board, who are also very much interested, I know, in it, we have Mr. Pat Cook, who is their chief executive, and also Mr. John East. We have representatives of the Sports Council, also of the National Trust, over part of whose property we should be walking this afternoon when we get to Burlingame. And a number of others who are equally welcome, although I cannot name them all. Now, this long-distance way is not the first of those, but is one of the first which have been created by the Countryside Commission. In fact, it will bring the total mileage of long-distance ways which have been officially opened to nearly 800. in different parts of England and Wales. But as you, Mr. Mayor, have said, this is the first long-distance route which is not only a footpath, but also a bridleway. Now that is a fact I particularly welcome, and I am glad that the British Horse Society's representatives have been able to join us this afternoon to celebrate this fact. And I hope indeed that as we develop more of these long-distance ways, that we shall be able to make them not only footpaths but bridleways, which gives access to them not only to people on horseback, but also, of course, to cyclists. As I said, we have already opened, or we shall have already opened, 800 miles of footpath. We have another 700 miles in an advanced state of preparation, and we are already engaged on preliminary negotiations for some hundreds of more miles in different parts of England and Wales. Now, the Countryside Commission promotes the creation of these long-distance routes, and we also provide the finance, not only for the provision of them, but also for their maintenance. But most of the work falls not on the Commission, which is a somewhat remote body with a small staff in London, but the work of creating them and maintaining them falls upon the local authorities. And I am sure that they would agree that it is right that this should be so. And we are greatly indebted to the, first of all, to the rural district, the district councils, which have been engaged in the lengthy negotiations necessary in order to create additional rights of way, additional to those which already existed on the ground. This particular South Downs Way will stretch 80 miles from Eastbourne to the Hampshire border, and we hope that it will not be very long before it is extended right into the heart of Hampshire at Wiltshire. But within the two counties of Sussex, nine districts have been involved, eight rural districts and one urban district, and it is upon them that a great deal of the work has rested in negotiating the new rights of way that were acquired. Of the 80 miles along which this way extends, 9 miles are freshly created rights of way which have been painstakingly negotiated by these district councils, and we are most indebted to them for that. It takes two to make an agreement, and I would like to add my appreciation to the cooperation which they and we have received from the owners and occupiers of the land. I think it is remarkable that there has been so little controversy, so little serious disagreement over in the negotiation of rights of way, which inevitably interfere perhaps with the farming operations or with other benefits which these property owners might expect to enjoy. And we are indebted to them also for their willingness to negotiate and these agreements. Now, when the rights of way have been negotiated by the district councils, it falls largely to the county councils to put the path in order and to signpost it. And in this we have had the very ready cooperation of the East Sussex County Council, particularly in the person of Mr. Stevens, whom I would like to thank personally for all that he has contributed to the creation of this path. And in West Sussex, again, personally from Mr. Brock, who has represented his county council in the detailed work which has been necessary. And it is particularly appropriate that we should have on the platform this afternoon the chairman both of the East Sussex and West Sussex County Councils. Also, Mr. Mayor, I would like to add my appreciation to the work which your corporation has done because the beginnings of this South Downs Way lie, of course, within the territory of your corporation. We have much appreciated your help in making a worthy beginning to the path, and also, may I add, our appreciation also in the way in which you have, by your ownership of this downland scene which we have before us this afternoon, the way in which your corporation have preserved this scene, have preserved its downland character, and have looked after it so admirably. And we appreciate this because this makes all the difference to the fact that the South Downs Way can make one of its ending points within the territory of your corporation. Now, much of the work has also been done by volunteers, and I am sure that the county councillors and district councillors would be the first to acknowledge this. And we've been fortunate that we have in Sussex such an active rights of way group, with the Sussex Downsmen playing a leading role in it. And if I am to name one individual in that connection, it must be Mr. Charles Shippen. He has spent a very large amount of his time not only in helping with the creation of this long-distance route, but also in particular in helping people to obtain accommodation along it. And this is a very important part of the provision which we try to make along a route of this kind. I don't know how long it takes you to travel 80 miles, but none of you can do it in a day, not even, I think, on horseback. I believe the prescription is 4 days on horseback and a week on your feet. But whatever it may be, you want to find places where you can stay the night along it. Now, Mr. Shippen has compiled a list of accommodation, and he has answered countless inquiries from individuals who have written to him asking where they can be accommodated. This is something for which all those who have benefited, all of us, must be immensely grateful. I only hope that he will be able to continue that good work for many years ahead. Mr. Shippen described himself recently to me in a letter as a perfectionist. And I know that at some times he has felt critical, not only about the progress which we've been making in completing this route, but also in some of the details of it. Now, certainly we need perfectionists like Mr. Shippen to spur us on. But I cannot claim this afternoon that the route which we have created is in all respects perfect. And we already have substantial improvements in mind. And I'm sure that if we hadn't them in mind, Mr. Shippen wouldn't fail to remind us of the need. Now, one of the members of the Sussex Rights of Way group is the Ramblers Association, who've been good enough to provide stewards for this gathering this afternoon. I'm very sorry that their president, Mr. Francis Ritchie, was prevented at the last moment from attending, but we are most indebted to them, not only for the work that they have done here, but for the work that they do in our national park and along other distance routes by providing wardens and assisting in so many ways in the maintenance of these places and the regulation of them. And finally, I'd like to express a word of thanks to the members of the staff of our commission, and particularly to Mr. Tom Miller, who is head of the department which is responsible for these long distance paths, and Mr. Weintraub, who has made arrangements for us here today. Now, we have also represented at this gathering, most importantly, not only the ramblers and the people who are going to enjoy the South Downs Way on foot, but we have also represented the Cyclist Touring Association in the person of Mr. Leslie Warner, and they are going to organise one party who will leave this site after the ceremony and travel along part of the bridle way. We have also, as I have said, representatives of the British Horse Society, and we're all indebted to Mrs. Inderwick for the fact that she has taken the full responsibility for organising this side of the ceremony. Now, it's appropriate that this being the first long-distance bridle way, that one of those who is going to address us is Brigadier Stevenson, who is the development officer of the British Horse Society. And before I call on Lord Sawcross to declare the South Downs Way open, I'm going to ask Brigadier Stevenson if he will be good enough to say a few words to it. Brigadier Stevenson.
Don't be put off by the fact there are only about half a dozen horsemen and women behind you today. There are some five shows and activities within easy reach of Eastbourne, which has taken a lot of other horsemen away. There are, in fact, in this country now, something like 2 million people riding regularly. And they own between them nearly half a million horses. In fact, it's true, I think, to say now that there are more horses being used for riding, and I include ponies in horses, more horses and ponies being used for riding now than there were 50 years ago when the animal was common on farms and cattle streets. It's rather remarkable. Now, a great number of those people who use the horse for recreation do so really for pure pleasure of taking the exercise of riding an animal in nice countryside and along nice parts of the world. Quite a lot of them base themselves on riding establishments to do so, others have their own horses. A further group of people come from the Education Authority schools, which is spreading all over England now. And there are some 90 in London, some 50 in Lancashire, and there are more in Yorkshire and in Gloucestershire, who include riding as part of the curriculum of schools. And it's these sort of people that we're considering today, people who ride purely for the recreation and the fun of it. Now, the other side of the picture is that the main roads, certainly, and many other roads now, are no place for horses. And the rate of accidents is growing up in really quite an alarming way. It's increasing by something like a third in the area around London every year. And where, if you have an accident on a bicycle or a motor car and you break your leg, you can put in plaster, and after a time you're probably all right again. If your horse gets hit by a car and it breaks his leg, probably then it's the end of the horse. It has to be put down. So it's quite a minor accident on the road. It can become quite a serious one when animals are concerned. This leads me, of course, straight into the value and the importance of routes such as this. You've got to try and keep the horse off the road and onto bridleways, and the South Downs Way is a wonderful example of that. The people who use it are those I just spoke about, also the riding establishments on the way, and private owners, and people who come for holidays. It can be used regularly and enjoyed by many people with their horses. And I would like to thank the Countryside Commission very much on behalf not only of the Riding Fraternity and the British Horse Society, but also on behalf of the Brambles and the Cyclists. I think we're the three main users of this, for the Countryside Commission's effort in getting this route going. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Brigadier Stevenson. I'm delighted that in the period while you were speaking to have seen in front of me Mr. Francis Ritchie, the president of the Ramblers Association. I'd understood he wasn't to be here. May I extend a personal welcome to him. He was, of course, earlier a member of the National Parks Commission, the predecessors of the Countryside Commission, who started the work of creating these long-distance routes. Now, Mr. Mayor, ladies and gentlemen, it's my great pleasure to introduce to you Lord Sawcross. I say introduce to you, Lord Sawcross needs no introduction. because, as you know, he lives at Alfriston, just over the hill. He is the Chancellor of your university, and he has been, since the early 1960s, the President of the Sussex Townsmen, and he is also President of the Sussex Federation of Amenity Societies. And it is very much due to the work of these two organizations that the countryside through which this way passes is still as beautiful as it is today. We have in this country this remarkable ability to combine the work of the statutory authorities, the county councils and the district councils and the parish councils, with that of the volunteer organizations such as the Sussex Townsmen and the other amenity societies not only creating the beauties of the countryside but in preserving them. And we are fortunate indeed that we have these watchdogs among us. And I'm going to ask you, Lord Shawcross, if you will be good enough to speak to us and then to declare open this South Downs Way. Lord Shawcross.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Mayor, ladies and gentlemen, it is a great pleasure to me, as the Chairman has said, as Chairman of the Sussex Townsmen and the Federation of Amenity Societies, to take part in this ceremony this afternoon. What we are participating is, as the Chairman of the Countryside Commission explained, the joining together of a number of ancient footpaths and bridleways into a complete stretch of 80 miles extending right from one end to the other of our beautiful South Downs. The history of some of these bridleways and footpaths is lost in ancient history. Some of them go back to literally thousands of years ago. Difficult for us, I think, rather to think of that. We probably, most of us, arrived here by motor car or bus, and there are various modern means of transport, the train, and many others, not to mention the Black Maria, which will take us from place to place. But it's not so long ago, historically, that people had to rely on footpaths and bridle paths. Eventually these were extended into roads, our rolling Sussex roads, for instance, made for coach and horses. But of course the original method of transport was either on foot or, if you were fortunate enough, by horse. Well now, here we have completely restored to the use of people who want to enjoy it, a footpath and a bridleway extending from point to point, from here to the edge of the county of Hampshire, at the other end of the what we call the South Downs. It'll provide a means, not only, I think, of travelling from one end to the other, but also of travelling either by horse or by foot or sometimes by bicycle, from place to place in between, and sometimes, I hope, not simply for the purpose of going from place to place, but just for the purpose of meandering along on the ridge of this lovely countryside. It's much better to travel than to arrive, and that's true, I think, of walking or riding as of any other method. And so here we shall be able to escape from the noise and the smell and the bustle and the madding crowd and recover what is so much missing, I think, from the modern world in which we live. That is the personal serenity and tranquility it mind, to which the peace and beauty of a quiet countryside makes a tremendous contribution. Some of you may remember what Wordsworth said over 100 years ago. The world is too much with us, late and soon, getting and spending. We lay waste our time. Little we see in nature that is ours. We've given our hearts away, a sordid boon. And if Wordsworth could say that 100 years ago, the poor poet must be turning in his grave today. But here, on this South Downs Way, and at the top of Beachy Head, looking out westwards against this great expanse, much we can see of nature that is ours, and indeed that is ours literally, for the South Downs Way and much of the South Downs literally belongs to us all. It belongs to us all, and it is here for us to enjoy it. Now, I think it would be idle for me, as the chairman of these two societies that have been mentioned, to deny that there have been opponents of any new arrangements which might tend to attract more people to what Kipling called Sussex by the sea. And what he said was, I'm quoting too much today perhaps, what he said is very well expressed in a less known poem than that one, where he talked each to his lot and I rejoice, the lot is born to me, which was called Very Many People. And I'm going to read it to you. This is what he was afraid of. On the downs, in the weald, on the marshes, I hear the old god say, here come very many people, we must go away. They take our land to delight in, but their delight destroys. They flay the turf from the sheepwalk, they load the downs with noise. They burn fires in the woodland, they seize the oast and the mill. They camp beside our dew ponds, they mar the clear flushed hill. They spring a glamorous magic. I think he must have meant music. He's anticipating the transistor set. They string a glamorous magic to fence our souls from thought, till our deep-breathed oaks are silent and our muttering downs tell naught. They comfort themselves with neighbors, they cannot abide alone. It shall be best for their doings when we old gods put on. Farewell to the downs and the marches, and the weald and the forest gnome. Before there were very many people, and the old gods had gone. Well, perhaps the old gods haven't entirely deserted us yet, but we who live in this fair land cannot be dogs in the manger about it. We have to reconcile the need for maintaining the peace, the amenities, and the beauty of our countryside with the other great need of providing for the town dweller who wants very naturally to get away from the tedium and squalor of his town and to breathe the fresh air of the countryside and enjoy its beauty. The task is by no means an easy one, but I'm convinced, although I was at one time doubtful about the creation of the countryside park just over there to the west of us, I'm convinced now that the work of the Countryside Commission, over which Mr. John Cripps, the chairman, so ably presides, is essential in preserving and protecting and often in restoring and extending the amenities of the countryside, which, apart from its activities, would be constantly at risk from inimical encroachments of one kind or another. And they are of is not only the property development, but people who, coming here, might desecrate the countryside in which we live. And so, I think this is such a case. Thanks to the work of the Commission, the initiative it took, to the work of the local authorities, the Borough Council here, the two county councils, and all the county district councils, and to voluntary societies such as those that have been mentioned, to many volunteers who brought the eager and excellent knowledge of people like Mr. Shippen, we have been able to complete this way. I say completed, there will still be improvements to be made on it. Motor cars, for instance, and motor bicycles will, I think, and I think this is urgent, have to be excluded from one or two sections of the way to which the old law, which permitted vehicles access, and motor bicycles are called vehicles, the old law will have to be altered, and the county councils will have to exercise the powers they possess to close these parts of the way to traffic of that kind and leave them free for the proper uses of a pathway and a right-of-way. But subject to that, the South Downs Way will now take its place with other very famous routes like the Pilgrim's Way, which we all know of in history, the Pennine Way, and indeed many others. So I think we must thank all those who have contributed to this end. And at the same time, we who use these walks and who live in these parks and who value them must dedicate ourselves to seeing that the countryside code and good manners, because that's what the countryside code really amounts to in the end, good manners and love of the country is observed in letter and spirit by all who come here, and that the rights which the South Down Way and the countryside park will bestow on the public at large is not abused, whether by people who come in motor cars or motor coaches or people who live in the country in this neighborhood itself, but who don't understand what the serenity and the beauty of our country heritage is all about. We must, I think, whether we come from town or country, show our responsibility, individual and personal responsibility, for maintaining the peace, the tranquility, and the beauty of this great heritage of ours in Sussex by the sea. And it's in that spirit that it gives me very great pleasure to declare the South Downs Way now open.
Now, I want to conclude this ceremony, first of all, by thanking you, Lord Shawcross, for what you have said to us, and for, if I may say so, expressing so well the purposes for which the Countryside Commission was brought into existence. And you have seen from the applause with which your speech was received how much it has been appreciated by all of us gathered here. And now again, thank you, Mr. Mayor, for the fact that you have found time in what I know is a busy program, which you now have to resume. Thank you for joining us and giving us your support. That will conclude the ceremony, and in about 10 minutes' time, we shall be departing from here in three parties. Mr. Leslie Warner of the Cyclist Touring Club will be leading a party of cyclists on the Bridleway, and the British Horse Society party also will be taking that route. Those of us who are going to leave on foot will follow the footpath along the cliffs to the point at which the bridle way and the footpath join again at the other end. There is here, beginning here, the footpath loop, which is open only to people travelling on foot. So that may I thank you all, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us in this ceremony this afternoon, and wish all those who are going to make their various journeys a happy conclusion to this day. Thank you very much.